It's time to talk MTCS sports. It's time for Cougar Corner with Brian Barrett and John Dinkins, live from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on Las Casas Pike. The primetime sports team is joined by Middle Tennessee Christian School coaches to talk about their most recent games and upcoming opponents. It's time to talk orange and white on FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and streaming online at GoPrimetimeSports.com on Cougar Corner.
And welcome in to the Coach's Conversation as we continue from the Cedar Bucket Restaurant. Time to talk about Middle Tennessee Christian School, and Ed Watson joins us here this morning. Coach, appreciate you coming in today. I know the district meetings are going on. We were just talking to Joey about that on the telephone, and I guess first things first, do we know any details about what's going to happen starting next Friday night at Middle Tennessee Christian School?
Looks like we got a rematch going on from last night. We'll be taking on Igable at 8:30 next Friday night.
A rematch?
Or next Saturday night, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that is Saturday for boys. I guess girls' first round is Friday, four games?
That's correct. Girls start kick off at 4 o'clock on Friday, I believe is the time, and then our girls, looks like what we've been able to figure out, they'll be taking on Igable also at 8:30 on Friday night.
That meeting's still kind of going on.
Yeah, they were finishing up some of the last second paperwork. Jason didn't think he'd be able to get over here in time, so he sent me, and when I left, they were finishing up some all-district tallying and some of those little details there. But one thing we know for sure, we're taking on Igable at 8:30.
Well, and that's on the Saturday night, a week from today. Why not? I mean, you've had some close games with Igable last night, led back and forth, I guess. They're late in the game. Igable had a bit of a surge. It was a one-point win for you guys at home, I guess, earlier in the year. You're playing at MTCS, so I guess you play your biggest Denton County rival and in the district tournament and wrap it all into one. It ought to be a lot of fun next Saturday night.
Yeah, Igable's a good matchup for us. You know, they over the years they've had some really good players roll through there, and of course, me being at MTCS for as long as I had, I've had a long history with Igable, and I talked to our guys about, you know, in order for it to be a rivalry, we need to win a few games along the way, and so you know, over the years we've had our 1-point losses and, you know, last second shots that Igable's made that have, you know, heartbreakers that we've lost, and we kind of overcame that earlier this in January when we played Igable at our place. We jumped out on them early, held the lead, and ended up winning the game. Last night's game, Igable jumped out on us. At 1 point, the score was 18-4 in the first half, or in the first quarter. We were just trying to hold on to, you know, not get boat raced too much right out of the bat. And in the second quarter, we did make a comeback halftime. We were down, I think we were down 4. I believe it was 35-31. You know, so we had closed the gap on them pretty good, come out in the third, jumped out again, got a little bit of a lead, and then it was back and forth. And you know how it is. You get a close game, it comes down to every possession. And we didn't execute on a few possessions, had some turnovers. They got some easy buckets. You know, what was a one-point back-and-forth game, they pushed it out to about 4. We couldn't really cut it any more than that, and they hit some free throws down the stretch, and I believe they won by 5 last night.
61-55, so 6, but what a week. I mean, it's been one of those, but it's every game. It's right. It's been the entire season.
Well, we struggled early on in the season. You know, we jumped out to a 3-0 start. We were going pretty good. We had some guys that were out with injuries, you know, getting some guys back in. And then we started struggling. We were closing out games. You know, we played Huntland and had a 7-point lead with 3.5 minutes to go and squandered that, went into overtime and lost that one. We had a Community where we had about a 6-point lead with 3 minutes to go. Gets down to the end. We had a few turnovers, missed shots. They make plays, and we lost that game. So, you know, we one of the things we and I kept telling Jason and the other guys on the coaching staff and parents that were talking about it and players that, hey, you know what? It's early December. If we're going to have these struggles now, let's have them in December. Let's not have them in February. And so we worked through that, got through Christmas, struggled a little bit at Christmas tournament still. But once January kind of hit, kind of got on a roll. I believe we've won four out of our last six with a 2-point loss to Forest at home, that you guys were at. And then last night's game, what ended up being a 6-point game with Iggville, but was a tie game all the way up to about a minute and a half to go. So we feel that we're playing pretty well. We're learning to close out games. Tuesday night we played Cascade. Cascade got out on us on a run too. And we fought back and battled back there. Took the lead in the third quarter. We were down 6 at half, took the lead in the third, battled back and forth, had a 3-point lead with 10 seconds to go. They drill a 3 to send it to overtime, and then we ended up being able to pull it out in overtime. We had a 1-point lead, got a stop on them, and then they fouled us. We hit a couple of free throws, pushed it out to 3 points. But yeah, we're still a fairly young team. You know, we've got Ivy, that's a senior, and Heath Bowman, and Micah Farmer, that are all seniors. But really, when we come down to crunch time, there's times where we look out there and we've got two sophomores, a freshman, one senior, and a junior maybe out there. And the junior, this is really his first year to ever play much with Ty Hageman. So, we look out there and we're putting the ball in the hands of a freshman sometimes to make some plays Ben Brown, a first year starter. You know, he's our point guard. We're putting the ball in his hands and running plays for him down the stretch to get some shots. So, you know, we're kind of learning. But, you know, yeah, they may be young, but they're a year older now. We can't play like freshmen. We got to play like sophomores. Sophomores got to play like juniors. So, but learning how to close out these games, that's kind of the key thing right now.
That's the same theme that Jason talked about the last two coaches shows that he's been on. You're in games. You maybe are leading, you know, in the second half. And then, you know, the other team went on a little bit of a run and weren't able to match that.
Right.
In the Forest game that we did, that we broadcast, you battled. They hit a key shot. You battle back, they hit a key shot. It just kind of went like that. So there was a bit of a progression in that. So now you're keeping that momentum in the third and fourth quarter where maybe you lost it at times earlier. So you can see a maturing process here with this team.
Well, what young kids don't understand sometimes is you know, they're more worried about their getting their shot on the offensive end, or you know, they're more worried about the offensive end. A lot of times we're yelling, let's just get a stop on the defensive end. Get a defensive rebound. Get a steal, get on the floor for a loose ball, because we want the ball in our possession. We got to value every possession. And that's one of the things that some young guys don't necessarily understand. You know, we may, you know, make an errant pass or take a bad shot, or, you know, my favorite is we'll shoot a 3 with, you know, our heels on the line. You know, we'll shoot a 19 footer, and it not be a rhythm shot. You know, and so that's kind of the thing is they're learning that we've got to get that defensive stop. We can't lose a 3-point shooter off of a screen. We've got to stay in, you know, locked in on him, or, you know, we got to get that key block out, because those are the little things that get you. You know, you can have four guys play a great defensive stand, but that one guy who doesn't get the backside block out and they get an easy put back, you know, it just, you know, that possession, that defensive possession wasn't good.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to make sure that we've got five guys playing defense and getting blockouts every time.
Ed Watson is our guest this morning here on Cougar Corner. And, Coach, this game of basketball is interesting because, you know, you battle and you go through those tough times and all of those things that happen in December. You think, how does that affect us in January? But to be able to – to grow the team and for them to be able to see the maturing process. I'm sure you're pointing those things out. Here are some things we were doing then. Now here's where we are. Now this is where we want to take it. Right. I mean, this whole process continues right on into this tournament time, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that we use as motivation for our seniors at this time of the year is we remind them, hey, you've only got about 5 games left in your high school career.
Yeah.
You know, that's about, you know, you may have some in the district tournament, but if we, you know, we need you to play well. And so young guys don't understand that because they've always got another year coming. But, you know, Micah at times at the beginning of the year, there was times where he'd have a great game. You know, we've got with Micah Farmer and Derek Spears, we've got two guys that we've had games where they've scored, both had over 25 points.
Yeah.
But you know, one night we'd have one of them get 25 and the other one get 10, or we, you know, and it wasn't consistent. And that's what we've been trying to make sure we're getting out of them is consistency, because really in high school, if you can get two guys like that, Derek's averaging about 21, Micah's averaging something like 17, you know.
And both in the tops in the county, by the way.
Yeah, both the tops in the county. So, I mean, you're getting 38 points there, you know. You look around at a lot of your basketball scores these days, I mean, if you're getting to 50, you know, you're doing pretty good. You know, so we got to get those guys going together. But really the key is a Ben Brown and a Justin Wynn for us coming in and knocking down a couple of threes, getting some free throws, getting that runaway layup, you know, or that little 3-point play where they end up getting about 15 points together.
Yeah.
You know, Ivy, get your, you know, go get an offensive rebound and a couple of putbacks, you know, draw a foul and hit a couple of free throws. You know, if we can get, you know, 15 to 18 points out of the rest of the guys, we feel we're in pretty good shape. Now, that's where we turn around and focus talk to them about defense, because we can have great offense, but if we're playing bad defense, you know, if we score 60 on offense and give up 61 on defense, we're still not doing what, you know, not going to be successful.
And that's not really the kind of game you want to play.
No.
You know, one thing that I have noticed in the scores and who is scoring, you know, if you've got Derek or, you know, Micah scoring, you know, 20, high teens, somewhere in there, and then somebody like Ben Brown sneaks in with 10, 11,
right,
you're winning a lot of basketball games when that happens. But
right,
what you're saying is if Ben only gets 5, somebody else needs to pick up with 5 or 6, and then maybe someone else a couple of points. That's a recipe if you've got two guys that are, you know, consistently 20 points or more, or in the high teens.
Yeah, and that's what sometimes scorers don't understand is in order to make it easier on themselves, they need to get other people involved. You know, and if they can get, you know, if Ben can come out and everybody that we play, that, you know, they're number one. We know what they're thinking on defense. They got to get up into Derek, and they got to defend him. They got to keep Micah from driving, force Micah to shoot outside shots, which Micah's now begun to hit some threes. So
yeah,
he's really putting some pressure on some teams to defend him. But, you know, where they maybe want to try to run a second guy at Micah to slow him down a little bit, or a second guy at Derek, you know, what I've tried to tell these guys is you need a Ben to hit a shot early in the game. You need a Justin Wynn to hit a shot early. That way they can't just take off from them and come and double you, or, you know, send an extra guy to you.
Well, if you double Derek and Michael, for instance, that only leaves one person to cover three others.
Right, right. You know, and the thing is really, you know, and I've never done the study on it, but I think a lot of times when you look at a guy like a Derek or Michael, when they're scoring their 25 or 30 a game, it's not, you know, to score 25, they're not getting their, you know, 6 or 7 points every single quarter, and it's just, you know, said how they're doing it. You know, they may bust out and have a 12-point quarter, or they may bust out and have a 15-point quarter, or, you know, or tack on some free throws at the end. You know, so what ends up happening is you need that guy in that first quarter to knock down a few shots. Or if Derek comes out and he knocks down, you know, maybe he has that 12-point quarter in the first, well, now they're going to start making some changes. They're going to start running some different people to him. So we recognize that. We'll start running some plays over to Ben, run some things that looks like it's going at Derek, but it's coming back to Micah. Do some different things like that. But that's what they need to understand is, you know, once the defenses make adjustments, we've got to make adjustments, and then we're going to have to make some more adjustments off of that. And that's the fun of coaching, figuring out what the adjustments are.
It's a chess game. I mean, it's just like, you know, a chess match the entire game. And the coaching of the district, I mean, those guys know your team just about as well as anybody, just about as well as you do. And yeah. So, you know, they'll come in with a game plan on what they need to do to, you know, stop Micah Farmer or right. Derek Spears. And somebody else has to pick up that slack. Right. Otherwise, it's going to be a long night, just like you were saying.
Yeah. I mean, we could get away with those two doing only the scoring, but we better lock down and play a lot of good defense. And, you know, defense has been a little bit of a challenge for us this year. There's some good guards and there's some good play in this district. I mean, we last night against Iggable, if we win that game, we finished third in the district. So we could have finished anywhere from third to sixth.
Yeah.
You know, there was Cascade and Huntland, us and Iggable were all within one game of each other, basically. Forest and Community are ahead of us. Of course, we've already beaten Forest once this year on their floor, which was a game that Ben came out and had 24 points. You know, nobody knew who Ben was. You know, he's just a point guard from MTCS. Well, he ended up with about six threes that game. So he had 24, and then the other night when we played him again, I think he ended up with like 18 or 19, I think, is what he had. So, you know, you definitely got to have that third guy right now, especially going into district, because, you know, this is where you're going to see some crazy stuff. This is where the junk stuff comes out. Somebody going to throw out a triangle and two or a box and one, or, you know, are they going to dream up some other little defense that, you know, to try to, you know, slow some people down. So, but, you know, that's where it comes back to us as coaches. We got to recognize that. You know, we'll work on everything this week. And we play Santa Fe Tuesday. It's senior night. We'll be celebrating our seniors. But, you know, Monday's practice is going to have very little to do with Santa Fe. It's going to have everything to do to get ready for Iggable by the end of the week. Santa Fe game, you know, it doesn't mean a whole lot, to records and things like that. It's going to mean something to those seniors as we honor them. But, really, we're going to be getting prepared for Iggable and for the district run. We want to get this first win so we can continue on.
That first win's important, because if you don't get that first win of the district tournament, that's the thing about tournament play. There are some elimination games, and that is the first one that you face all year, that this is it for the season if you don't win.
Right. And, you know, we've struggled in this game the past few years, coming out and matching the other team's intensity and everything and being ready for it. But I think with this group, I think we'll be loose. We'll work with them. You know, they know that going in, we're playing Iggable. We've already beat them once this year. We played them close. You know, it's going to be a week, you know, 7-8 days since we last played them. They know we played them close. Joey will come up with a few things to adjustments that he's going to make on us. Us coaches will have to catch it in the first few minutes, figure out what it is, see what we need to do to make adjustments. But really, a lot of times, you know, like I said, when it comes down to this time of year, value the possession and get defensive stops. That's what you got to do.
Does it help, hurt, don't care that you just play a team the week before and you got to turn around and play them again? That seems like a pretty tough turnaround.
Yeah, it can be, I guess. But, you know, I mean, with these kids these days, you know, it's just one of the things you got to do. And so I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. It may be a little bit better for us because, you know, what some of these guys did may be a little more fresher on our minds. You know, they had a kid last night, the G kid busted out on us, had about 21 points. I think that's probably a season high at least. I don't know about his career, but, you know, they know that they're going to have to step out and be ready to defend him. Ben Kelly, you know, we held him to 11 last night, but, you know, the guy's averaging about 19 or 20 a game. So we still know we're going to have to. So I think with that, some of this is still going to be a little fresh in their minds about, because, you know, the scouting report that we went over with them yesterday, you know, it's not going to change a whole lot. You know, like you said, us coaches know everything that the other coaches are doing. You know, teams watch us. They hear our play calls. We hear their play calls. We know what's going on. So, you know, but really what it comes down to then is execution. You know, you still got to set the screen. You still got to come off of it correctly. You know, execute the game plan, execute the play.
Well, I know that Middle Tennessee Christian School is excited about being able to host this tournament as well. It's going to bring everybody here to Murfreesboro for the 9A tournament. Again, it starts on Friday, and as soon as all the brackets are out, we'll We'll get with you or Jason or Dan or somebody and get that bracket over to us, and we'll get it up on the website and be promoting it during the week. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Santa Fe on Tuesday night. So, like you said, there's it's a game, and you're going to play that game, but probably putting in some things that you might look at doing with the Eagles come right. Saturday night in that
oh, yeah.
one.
Oh yeah, you know, Monday we may be working a little bit on defense. You know, get some more things worked out there. Go in against Santa Fe. You know, we've got four seniors. Honor those guys and their parents and what they've given to us. You know, they're all good guys, and have put in a lot of work for us over the years. And so, yeah, we're going to be excited and looking forward to next Saturday night.
Be at home for a while here, and if you can pick up a win in that first round of the tournament and rock and roll on through the tournament there, who knows what can happen.
Right. We're excited about hosting. It's the first time that we've ever had the opportunity to host the district tournament, just because old days gym wasn't big enough. Now we've got a big, nice gym, and we're inviting everybody out to come and watch some pretty good basketball, because, you know, these kids here, a lot of them, most of them, 99% of them won't be able to play in college, you know, and so it's good to see some guys just come out and work hard and dedicate themselves to a team.
Well, I'm sure Lynn will have a little extra shine on the lobby and everything be sparkling for next Saturday, Friday and Saturday.
I believe that's already started. You know, we like to show off that facility to everybody. It's a neat place. It's a it's probably one of the best ones around that I've been into and seen over the years. And we're very proud of it. We're glad to be able to host all the other schools, and it's going to be an exciting time for us. It'll be the third tournament we've had there in the last 6 weeks. We had our Christmas tournament right after Christmas, and then we had our James C. Hale tournament, and now we're doing district tournament. So we're hitting the hat trick here, and I think we're going to have some tired volunteers. But one thing that we do have there is we got some great volunteers, great parents, moms and dads that step up to run hospitality rooms and concession stands and cooking burgers and whatever it takes. You know, we're not at a shortage of getting people that are willing to help out and make things work.
Well, Ed, good luck with everything. We're going to try to work out the schedule. It's still all kind of up in the air, which is the same for everybody, I guess, but try to get out there at least for a game or two from the District 9A tournament, and you always host a great tournament, and I'm sure if we can be there, there'll be plenty of room for us, and we'll have a good time, but hopefully things will work out. And I appreciate you coming in this morning for Jason, and you brought a little friend with you this morning too.
Yeah, I got my little buddy with me this morning, Hayes. I said, we got to go do radio. He said, we going to the bucket place? I said, yeah, we are. So I think he's had about 4 pounds of some type of hog meat over there. So
yeah, I think some sugary pancake, too.
Well, I think I saw that got offered up a while ago. He's not it's kind of like his dad. He doesn't turn away too much food. So.
Well, I appreciate it, Ed. Thanks for coming in. We'll see you down the road, my man.
All right, thank you.
All right,
we appreciate everything you guys
do
for us.
Yes, sir. Glad to do it. That is Ed Watson joining us here. Let's run down the Cougar Corner scoreboard, then we'll wrap things up here, do a little different order there, Zach. High school boys this week, an overtime win over Cascade, 50-47. Spears had 23. Farmer had 16. Ben Brown had 10 in that one. On Friday last night versus Eagleville, a 61-55 loss. Farmer with 20. Spears with 13. And the girls' side of things, lost to Cascade 51-36. Wilkerson had 7. Megan Smith had 9 last night, and the loss to Eagleville, 68-54. Julia Howard had 17, Megan Smith with 13. Santa Fe is on Tuesday, and Friday starts the district tournament over at Middle Tennessee Christian School. And as we always say, thanks, Miss Judy Coates, for helping us out with the scoreboard today. Well, that's going to do it here from the Cedar Bucket Restaurant. Don't forget Raider basketball coming up. We've got also Monday, the coaches' shows, Raider coaches' shows. Tuesday, we will be over at Siegel for the games with the Blackman Blaze. Next Friday night, it's Riverdale Blackman, and who knows down the road, coaches' show next Saturday morning. So we've got it all for you right here on WGNS, and keep up with everything online at goprimetimesports.com. As soon as we get the district tournament brackets, we'll have them up there for you to view on our website, goprimetimesports.com. Stay tuned. We've got Rutherford Home Show coming up next. Dean Higby, Dave Gober, straight ahead here on WGNS. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and thanks for joining us here from the Cedar Bucket Restaurant.
Everything we do affects our eternal destiny.
President Lynn Watson of Middle Tennessee Christian School.
We feel like that every decision we make has an impact on tomorrow and the rest of our lives. And so we try to encourage students to think with that kind of eternal perspective in mind.
The mission of Middle Tennessee Christian School is to provide an education based on Christian values and academic excellence. Middle Tennessee Christian School, training for eternity.
E1 Autos and Evans Auto Exchange is proud to support MTCS Athletics. Jimmy Evans and family own and operate E1 Autos. You can find them online at e1auto.com. That's E, the number one, auto.com. And also Evans Auto Exchange, evansautoexchange.com. You can custom order a specific vehicle or check out their extensive inventory and never leave home. It's all there. Make, model, picture, and a price. E1 Autos is at 1605 Memorial Boulevard, or call 896-CARS. That's 896-2277. Evans Auto Exchange is at 2240 Northwest Broad, 895-6990, 895-6990. Jimmy Evans, E1 Autos, and Evans Auto Exchange, proud to support the orange and white of Middle Tennessee Christian School.
Middle Tennessee Christian School. Training for eternity.
That starts with practicing our faith.
Secondary school principal Todd Miller.
Writing research papers and solving chemistry equations, scoring touchdowns, hitting three-pointers, hitting home runs, and scoring soccer goals. We want to be the best that we can be at every single thing we do, and we'll not settle for anything less.
Middle Tennessee Christian School. Online at mtcscougars.org.
You've been listening to Cougar Corner with Ryan Barrett, John Dinkins, and the Middle Tennessee Christian School coaches, live from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on Las Casas Pike. Keep up with MTCS Athletics online at mtcscougars.org, the official website of Middle Tennessee Christian School. And don't miss joining us here on WGNS AM FM again next week for another edition of Cougar Corner.